said, it's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author, not to be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur, and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and find no one to share it with. We want to express our admiration and our thanks. And that's what he calls us to here to, is to bless the Lord, to praise him, to be willing to share this. And when I start this out, it's hard to keep from singing it because it starts out with just the words that we just got through singing. A.C. Gabelin, on his commentary on this, he wrote, how well it would be if this psalm were sung instead of the modern hymns of no scriptural value, sentimental, feeding emotions, and accompanied by a religious jazz tune. Remember, he wrote that in 1939. So the complaint about modern music is long lived. But listen as I read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and the judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heaven, and his sovereignty rules over all. Blessed are the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he starts out with the command that we are to bless the Lord, we're to praise him, we're to speak highly of him and to him, and not just say praise the Lord, but to give specifics about it. And it's to be the passion of our soul. That is what is meant here by bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. From our heart, there's to be a blessing and a desire to be the passion of our heart to bless the Lord. Then he goes on to do it, and he gives five different things we're to bless the Lord for. And so these are specific items of praise that he tells us we're to remember as we go through. The first, because he says we're not to forget, we're to forget none of his benefits. That is, salvation comes with a benefit package. We talk about that with a job, sometimes with a job, the benefit package is as viable as the pay itself. But he said, remember, you have a benefit package when you come to salvation, and we're to repeat that back to the Lord. So first is he pardons our iniquities. This is where it starts. This is what we've been celebrating together this morning as we took the bread and the cup, and as we remembered the death on the cross and the forgiveness of sins, and that it's bringing us to the point where those sins are taken care of. He reiterates that in verse 12. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. So we're to realize that our sins are forgiven. It's like the Irishman who said, the Lord has forgiven all my sins and he's never going to hear the end of it. And we need to be reminding the Lord that, you know, we do recognize the forgiveness of sins. And that's part of, again, that's part of what we come together for every Sunday morning as we break bread together, as a reminder that our sins are forgiven. And then the implications that come out of that. The second is that he heals our diseases. Now, the first thing to notice here is that the healing of diseases follows the forgiveness. The spiritual and the physical are related. They're connected. All sickness is a direct result of the fall of a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Therefore, we have sin in our sickness and illness in our world. Some sickness is a direct result of sin, but scripture makes it clear that not all sickness is. And so we need to be careful that we don't fall into that. Now, this has been a troubling passage for many through the years because he said, who heals all your diseases. So several things to remember. And in our prayer time this morning, it became obvious that that all of our diseases are not healed. You know, we talk about stomach problems. We talk about heart problems. We talk about memory problems. We talk about those kinds of things. So those are not all done away with. And so how do we understand a passage like this? There are a couple things to think about. First is that all healing comes from God. God is the great physician. He's the one that brings all healing to the lives. So he's the source of health and source of all healing. Second is that God is able to heal any illness. In God's perspective, there's no such thing as an incurable disease. Third is he can heal through natural means as well as miraculously. And so you have somebody like Ernie, who's going to have a stent put in, to help with his heart. And so some of it, of that healing, takes place by natural means. It's not all miraculous. Next thing to remember is that God, that Jesus healed all those that were brought to him and did that healing. And then remember that while we may not be all healed in the present, we will all be healed in the future, in eternity. We talked this morning in our meditation time about James 1, verses 2 and 3. And one of the things that talks in there is about the trials and the temptations that come our way. And those trials are a source of maturity and growth in our lives. And part of those trials, a big part of those trials, are oftentimes the sicknesses and illnesses that we have to deal with as we go through life. And the recognition that that's a part of what we deal with. And so, if we were to come in and say, you know, anytime we're sick, we automatically get healed and we can expect that. Oftentimes the growth that God wants in our lives would be, we'd sidestep that and not have that happen. One of the people that I enjoy listening to very much is Johnny Erickson Tata. And these days she seems to be everywhere. I'm surprised that often I see her at things. She had just gone through a bout of COVID and the healings take place. She's over that and she's come through that. But as I listened to her talk about going through a life of not being healed from the injury that she had when she was in her late teens, you look at that and how God has taught her and brought her through things and helped her to learn things as a result of that. And then the ability that's given her to share that with other people and to explain to other people the grace of God. I just saw, so I didn't listen to the interview, but Larry King passed away this week, and she put a thing on there about her interview with Larry King, the ability to to communicate the grace of God in many different circumstances that would have been sidestepped if there had been individual or immediate healing to take place. George Matheson writes this. He's a well-known blind preacher from Scotland. He writes this: "My God, I have never thanked thee for my thorn. I thank thee 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorn. I have been looking forward to a world where I can get compensation for my cross as itself a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show thee that my tears have made my rainbow. That God takes the pain, the struggles, the difficulty, the diseases that we have and uses them for our good." So the diseases at some point will be healed completely. And that's how we can look for eternity, is to see that God will totally heal us down the road. So he heals. So one of the benefits is the pardoning from iniquity, forgiveness. Another is being healed from our diseases. Another is that he redeems us. It says he redeems your life from the pit. We want to think that automatically go to the pit of hell and redeems us from that. And that is a true statement. He does redeem us from any of the prospects or any thoughts of having to go to hell, because he redeemed us from that. But I think there's more to it than that. I think it's the part of the pit is the difficulties, the struggles, the catastrophes, the tragedies, the accidents, the dangers that we might face in life. We do not know, and we're not aware of the close calls we have in life that could bring great difficulty to our lives, of having to face, you know, accidents that sometimes we look back and say, you know, 2 minutes later, if I hadn't been stopped for this, I would have been involved in that. But more than that, I think there's a lot of those things that happen that we're not aware of. And maybe in eternity, God will come back and show us videos of some of those that he protected us from, that we're unaware of, and who we believe he redeems us, redeems our life from the pit. Then he goes on to say, he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Our granddaughter Jane showed up yesterday wearing a princess crown. And she wore that crown, it transformed into a different person. There's a transformation that took place because of that. And she couldn't, we had to search for it when she went to go home, because she wasn't sure where it is. And she couldn't go home without it, because it makes her a different person. And that's what it is for us. It makes us a different person. The crowning, part of the crowning we have when we come to Christ, is loving kindness and compassion that he gives to us, that he allows us to demonstrate, that he allows us to share with people in our lives. And so without that transformation, we would be loveless and guilty. And he brings us through that, and he crowns us with that. So those are the benefits that he asks us to not forget and to be reminded of. And he says, because when we remember those, when we benefit from those, he satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So there's a satisfaction that comes for the longing heart. And when we sit back and remember, and sometimes as we go through life, it's too easy to take the good things for granted and just to focus on the bad things and focus on the depressing things and the disappointments. And that, and he says, we need to be stepping back and reflecting on the good things that he's done. The satisfaction there, where he says, he satisfies your years with good things. I don't believe that good things, I don't think that reference there is to material things, as is to the spiritual things, to the emotional well-being, to the health of our personalities, to the satisfaction that we have in Christ, to the delight we have in being his followers and living for him, of being able to share the gospel with other people, of being able to share his love to those around us. And there's a satisfaction that comes from that is much greater than than just the accumulation of material things. The soaring of the eagle is magnificent. The eagle is known for strength and his youth. And he says he will bring us, he will renew us through that. And as we get older, we need that renewal process in our lives. And we can count on him to bring freshness and newness to every day of our life as we realize that. And we get up and we say, Lord, I'm living today for you. I'm satisfied with you. And whatever I do today, I want to be able to do it in service of you and because I love you. So that's what he calls us to. That's what he desires for us. Then he goes on in verse 6 and he changes. In verse 6, it changes from the singular to the plural. And so really he's moving from verses 1 to 5, really talk about his input is in us as individuals. And when he goes from verses 6 down through 18, he's talking about a loving kindness for his people, and that satisfaction, that well-being, that forgiveness is what is communicated to his people. He says he performs righteous deeds. And that first part there, he says, made known his ways to Moses, the acts of the sons of Israel. What he's referring to right there is after God gave the Ten Commandments, and he came down and the people sinned, or before the people sinned, he came down and he repeated them to him, to the people, and they committed that they would follow him. And then they sinned. And at that point, this is a quote. He says, the Lord is compassionate. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. The Lord says these words to Moses. So it's not Moses observing the Lord. It's the Lord saying, this is who I am. He says, I'm compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And it's exciting to focus on that and to remember that his kindness is incredible for us in recognizing the extent of it. And he goes on real quickly in verse 9. He says, you will not strive with us. You will not always strive with us. He talks about his anger is limited. And he said, he will not keep his anger forever. So his anger is limited. Then he says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, or thwarted us according to our iniquities. And that is, his anger is limited. And that his major relationship to us is based on love and compassion. Oftentimes, people are tempted to think of the God of the Old Testament as being an angry, wrathful, punitive God. But we see here when God describes himself, he describes himself as being compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And that's the God that we see here that's described here. Then we've already talked about verse 12, where it talks about, but his sin is being as far from the east as from the west. It goes down there to talk about it. He knows our frailty. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we're not in our own right able to fulfill the law of Moses and to keep it. But that's why the forgiveness is given. That's why Christ died on the cross for our sins. So here we see the loving kindness of his people. Then he wraps it up with a dominion over all. And he mentions here the angels. He establishes throne in heaven. His sovereignty rules over all. And he specifically names the angels. So it's not just here on earth. It's in heaven. The strength of his word. He performs his word. And he says, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. And that refers to the angels and us. We're to be blessing him. We're to be blessing the Lord. And then he wraps up with that phrase, bless the Lord, O my soul. We need to give thanks to him. We need to give praise to him. Our language of heaven is praise, and we need to be practicing that here on earth. Father, we thank you for this hymn of praise that both gives us the command to praise him, gives us the reason for it, and gives us an understanding that we're to be walking with him, we're to be praising him, and to live a life not wrapped up in looking at the negative sides of life, not looking at griping at the circumstances, at the things that we've had to deal with in life, but being able to rejoice in who you are and what you've done for us, and to really be able to, with all of our hearts, bless the Lord, oh my soul. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.